While attention on Capitol Hill is focused on impeachment hearings, the Trump administration is taking steps to reshape the National Security Council. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien took charge of the NSC in September after Trump ousted former advisor John Bolton. Last month, O'Brien said in a Washington Post op-ed that he would help the president downsize the council's staff. The proposed changes come right in the middle of the impeachment inquiry against the president, which began with a whistleblower complaint to the NSC's inspector general. But critics of the president say the timing of the changes raise questions about whether Trump is trying to downsize the council's staff in an effort to weed out whistleblowers. For more on this, I'm joined by Daniel Dresner, a professor of international politics at Tufts University, and Heather Hurlburt, the director of New Models of Policy Change at New America. Thanks to you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
So, Daniel, what exactly is Trump's latest plan to restructure the NSC? What are some of the details here?
Well, there's a couple things going on. First of all, Robert O'Brien, who's the National Security Advisor, has essentially proposed to downsize the National Security Council staff. And we should be clear, we're talking about the staff here, not the council itself. And the staff was up to over 200 people during the last couple years of the Obama administration. There have been long-running complaints about perhaps the staff was too large and as a result was too outsized. And so O'Brien is proposing to essentially reduce it, I believe, from about 175 people to about 125 people. Those are rough numbers between now and January. And he's not going to do it by firing anyone, but rather most of the NSC staff is there through sort of secondments from cabinet agencies like the State Department or the Defense Department or so forth. And essentially, as those rotations run out, they're not going to be replaced. The other thing he's going to do is eliminate a few directorates, in particular the Emerging Technologies Directorate, the Strategic Planning Directorate, and I believe he's going to take the International Economics Directorate, and rather than have it report to the NSC and the National Economic Council, it'll only report to the National Economic Council now.
Heather, when we look at O'Brien's leadership compared to Bolton's, is this part of that overall strategy? He's only been in the position a short time, but how do you compare the two so far?
So O'Brien comes in saying, as others have in the past, that he's going to get back to what's seen as the golden age of the National Security Council under Brent Scowcroft in the Bush administration. And as opposed to Bolton, who came in with the idea that he had a definitive set of policy objectives that he wanted to push himself, O'Brien says that he sees the model as the National Security Advisor as the guy who tees up opinions and puts all the options in front of the president. Now, that's all great, but President Trump has demonstrated amply over the last few years that he's going to make decisions himself, he's going to go with his gut, and that he really doesn't care what kind of process you present him, that he, at some level, disdains the whole idea of a functioning bureaucracy is a little bit inimical to how he likes to hold authority. And as Dan said, this question of what is the right size for the National Security Council staff has been with us for multiple administrations. And so O'Brien is trying to edge back away from the Bolton model and wrap himself in the mantle of how traditional national security advisors behave. But there's nothing typical about this administration and pretending that you're Brent Scowcroft does not make you Brent Scowcroft.
Well, and Heather, Mick Mulvaney, we know, is also a fan of restructuring at the NSC. Tell us his position. What role is he playing in all of this?
So Mick Mulvaney, before he came to the executive branch, had a long history in Congress of never encountering a part of the national security apparatus that he didn't want to make smaller and less influential and less expensive. So Mulvaney comes to this with a longtime reputation as a budget hawk. And he adds to that clearly some difficulty managing Trump's various power centers and not a lot of sympathy for folks in the national security apparatus thinking that they know things or have advice that ought to be separate from his political process. So the other thing we should say is that O'Brien comes in as a fairly weak national security advisor even for this administration, in that he was not a well-known public figure before. He has no political standing of his own. He has no wing of the Republican Party that he's representing. So in a way, it is wise of him to say, if I'm shrinking my own authority, no one else can shrink it for me. So I think that's a little bit of what's going on. And it would, you might think it would put him in a better position to work well with Mulvaney and others. But, you know, we've continued to have reports of people going around the NSC. I think we have some new stuff out about Stephen Miller. You know, this is not likely to make O'Brien and his work more relevant to the way this current administration works. And as Dan says, it's a little bit odd to be downsizing some of the functions that are most contentious right now and that are, frankly, most forward in the administration's own China strategy, economics and emerging technologies. So it's just, it's an approach that doesn't quite seem to match the problems, even if you leave the politics out of it.
And Daniel, to that point, I mean, will a smaller NSC or National Security Council have more or less influence on the president?
It will make no difference whatsoever. This is where I completely agree with Heather. There's an aspect to this where you're just talking about rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Because essentially, the one thing we have learned very clearly from Donald Trump over the last couple of years is, A, he does not read any single piece of paper produced by his administration, and B, he operates foreign policy from his gut. So in that sense, the NSC staff size is an extremely minor element in all of this, because even if it was the best staff in the world, if they produce paper that's not read, then, you know, it's a version of the philosophical question: if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, does it actually happen?
And so what are the primary concerns on the left, Daniel, given this shakeup?
So you could argue, and again, this is a debatable proposition, but you can argue it, that essentially O'Brien announcing that he wants to reduce the size of the NSC staff, and most of the NSC staff consists of permanent employees of the government. Again, you know, career civil service, foreign service officers, military officers, that reducing the size of that is part and parcel of a larger theme of the Trump administration's sort of war on expertise. So what you want to do is get fewer and fewer people in any room that is making decisions that have any degree of actual core competency in the area that you're talking about. And so this would seem to be of a piece with that. Although, again, to be fair, there have been long-running debates about the proper size of the National Security Council staff. And in some ways, if this was a normal administration, there would be a genuine debate to be had about what the proper size should be, what right-sizing the NSC staff looks like.
Heather, there are impeachment hearings happening today. Can you help us make the link between those hearings and the attempt to reshape the NSC?
It's not clear that there is actually a link. And in a normal administration, these are debates that have kicked around in every administration. And in a normal administration, we wouldn't make the link at all. But it is remarkable and at the very least strange timing to announce your plan to downsize the NSC staff just as you have several members of the NSC staff being very prominent witnesses in the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry. So I am willing to give O'Brien the benefit of the doubt, because this is, it's very standard foreign policy talking points. Oh, you should shrink and right size the National Security Council staff. And I think they have very carefully gone out of their way to say the directorates they're cutting are not the directorates from which people have been trooping up to the Hill to testify. But it is certainly, it's a reminder of how much this administration likes to govern through chilling effect.
Daniel, Heather mentioned earlier that this is happening also at a time when, this has kind of fallen out of the news cycle a little bit, but the trade relations between the United States and China are being debated, if you will. How could this restructuring affect our foreign policy writ large? You mentioned the president is meeting with Erdogan today. He's met with multiple officials, senior officials in other countries that have been seen, have raised a lot of eyebrows here in the United States, including Vladimir Putin. So what could this mean, if anything, for the broader picture when it comes to U.S. foreign policy?
Well, this is truly one of the more baffling aspects of this reform, which is if you want to say there's a distinction in terms of the way the Trump administration has thought about foreign policy, substantively, there are two areas. One is that the Trump administration views China in particular as a leading threat, as the sort of paramount threat to U.S. interests. And furthermore, this administration has very tightly fused national security concerns and economic concerns. And we've seen that in the prosecution of the myriad trade wars, particularly with respect to China. So it is a touch odd that they are deciding to essentially eliminate the Emerging Technologies Directorate and, you know, by all intents and purposes, downgrading the International Economics Directorate by not having a report to the National Security Council. And again, it's not like this will necessarily lead to any substantive changes, but the signal is unmistakable. You don't say, I am going to declare a war on drugs, for example, and then eliminate the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Corey Shockey, who's a scholar and has also worked at the NSC as well as the agencies, reminds us that the purpose of the National Security Council was actually originally a political one, and it was as the post-World War II U.S. had suddenly sort of gained all this military power and influence to make sure there was political buy-in for how an administration was using it. And so if you think of overall the NSC as serving that political function as unifying the parts of a president's coalition, the message that the Trump administration is sending here really clearly is the president is saying, I am the arbiter, none of you is the arbiter, and all sort of playing off of factions goes personally through me. And that's very consistent with everything else about his presidency. It's not the way we tend to think about American foreign policy, but it does tell you something really important about how Trump wants American foreign policy to work, which is personalized.
Heather Hurlburt is the director of New Models of Policy Change at New America, and Daniel Dresner is a professor of international politics at Tufts University. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.